Amen.
Let's read John 14, a few verses. John 14. Bob will run out of the church for sure. He's heard this so much. He heard it so much. He says, I don't think I can stand here in another time. John 14, verses 1 through 6. Bob says, I know that one. Let's go on to something else. All right. Let's read it together. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, when I was preparing to preach, and sometimes it was three times a day, an hour and 45 minutes or 2 hours at a clip, so I couldn't complain that I didn't get my preacher's itch scratched. I asked the Lord, and the Lord told me plainly, I feel was the Lord, preach Christ in you, Feast of Tabernacles. And so I found myself preaching an awful lot on the Father's house and the coming of the kingdom. That God is building a house. God was on the earth in the Garden of Eden. God was on the earth again in Jesus Christ. And God is coming to the earth again the third time, this time to stay forever. But in order to come, he has to have a house. Now, my preaching is rather complex. I have a hard time understanding it myself. And when I was preaching to these people, because of their lack of background allusions that I could make and get real cute, and because of going through an interpreter, I had to really get my own doctrine very, very clear in my own mind and kind of bottom line. Because you just couldn't get frilly with the thing. It had to be the essence and it had to be straight. And so I really clarified my own teaching to a great extent to where I was able to understand it myself. And the thing that I kept coming to was the Father's house. It's a very, my message that God gave me in 1948, which I'm still preaching, is a very simple one, that God is building a house. And that he is going to, when he gets it done, he's going to live in it, and that house is going to be on the earth, and this is where he's going to live. Now, that's all I preach. I preach coming at it sideways and on top and from the bottom, but that's all it is Christ in you, that what God is doing, he's building a house. So I preached my Father's house. Well, in Chirala, this went over great. There were 7 or 8 days, however long it was, and then we went into the villages, and I preached my Father's house, Father's house. I didn't talk about tabernacles, but they didn't have that reference the Feast of Tabernacles to see the doctrine. Just God is making a house. Well, anybody can understand that. I talked about their huts. There's huts all over the place. In India, if you want a house, you go out in the curb and build a hut out of leaves. That's it. I don't know if anybody checks on it or not. They check on it, you bribe them, and they go their way. That's about the size of it. So, anyway, here's these huts all over the place. So I could talk about huts, and people could understand what I was talking about. And one time somebody said, well, does God come into you, then you sin, God goes out again. Then he comes in, you sin, God goes out again. And I said, no, that's not true. If you saw someone in your village and they built a hut and then went in and then come out again, went in and come out again, you say either one or two things. Either they're crazy or there's a cobra in there. So I said, when God is not crazy, and when God goes in, the cobra comes out. So when God comes into you, he comes in to stay. So we preached the Feast of Tabernacles without calling it as such. So Indians of all ages learn in my Father's house. God is building a house. When he gets the house built, he's coming. That's the coming of the kingdom. We pray that every Sunday, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Oh, yeah, the kingdom's coming. Praise the Lord. Well, that's a cause for rejoicing. So then that went swell in the villages and in this congregation of ministers at the beginning. But when we got up to the big city with this, which was a convention of pastors, and they're fairly sophisticated. Where I was staying, in the pastor's house where I was staying, he had a library that was a library. He had books I'd like to be able to afford someday. He had a Jacinius Hebrew lexicon. I don't know, Paul, where's Paul? Do you have a Jacinius? Well, you're good. Paul's rich now. I couldn't afford it. He had a Jacinius. He had a large Greek lexicon and books, scholarly reference works of all kinds. So these people are pretty sophisticated. Some of them went to seminary in the United States. And so they're no dummies, you know. These people have been taught Pentecost well and soundly. So, and there's 300 pastors and plus a mixed multitude. So I thought, well, these people can take the feast of the Lord. So I kind of laid out the idea that there's seven feasts, and they're in Leviticus 23, and they symbolize salvation, and we're at Pentecost, which is feast number four. Would you like to go on? This is for the first day of the convention. Oh, yes, yes, cause for great rejoicing. We want to go on. Oh, brother. So we preach the first feast, Passover. This is salvation. Amen, you know, whatever the equivalent is in amen. What was the equivalent of amen? I can't remember anybody saying amen. They just kind of get all excited, and when they're nervous, they get up and sing for a while and beat on the drums. I don't know what amen. Stotram is praise the Lord in Telugu. Of course, you heard that constantly. So, oh, that's great. We got the unleavened bread, water baptism, and repentance. Well, a number of them hadn't been water baptized, but who can gainsay that? Water baptism, repentance, that's got to be the Bible. So that's great, terrific. Oh boy, we're great, you know. God's man of faith and power. So, the third thing we get to, God gave me some insight into first fruits, that it's the seal of redemption. I haven't preached this here, but God gave that to me over there, the born-again experience. And the Bible talks a lot about the fact that redemption is ahead of us, and what we have now, we're sealed. Well, that's the Feast of First Fruits. It's the sealing. I'll get into that someday, God willing. Well, that was fine. That's obviously scriptural. We're sealed under the Day of Redemption. So we got past that, and then we got the Pentecost. Oh, hallelujah, we're home free. You know, this is the good. And all the while they're hollering, they want to go on. So then we got to the Feast of Trumpets. And they listened, and the first part must have been all right. And I talked about Christ entering in, Psalms 24, who is this King of Glory? Keep asking the question, who is the King of Glory? Because we have not known Jesus as a man of war. So the question is that, who is he? We don't even recognize him. Well, it's the Lord. So, all right. And then, when I got onto this, I got onto something I'll get onto this morning, a little later in John 14. But I realized what happened was, one of the pastors in particular, and it kind of spread to others, got hung up on John 14, too. Now, I went through a very careful exegesis of John 14, too. The Greek, the context, and the rest of the Bible. And I explained it so clear, Bob says that's as clear as it can be explained, but they got hung up. And this went on like this for a couple of days. Pretty soon they cut my time back. Very, very well done, you know. It's kind of a congenial con. It was very well done. It was beautifully done. But I found myself out of a whole day preaching about an hour. So I was getting the message, and I've been there before. So my way when this happens is I say, the battle is the Lord's, and I just go to bed and read my Bible, snore the snore of faith, eat apples or whatever there is to do. The problem is the Lord's not mine. It's his kingdom, not mine. And that's just less work for me. By this time, this is the end of our stay here, and I'm hanging on the ropes. And so I thought, good, God's given me a rest. That's their problem. We'll get on the next plane and go home. I'm not worried about it. So I just left it in God's hands. And I could see when I met the people, there was a kind of a clouded look. You can tell when people are having a problem. So I let it all go. So what happened was this. Pentecost was laid in Andhra Pradesh, that's the state that we were in, the state of Andhra Pradesh. southern India. Pentecost was laid there very, very well by two men. And they started a denomination called the Indian Pentecostal Churches, of which there are about 1,500. I preached in one of them. And the two men were a man by the name of the Apostle P.M. Samuels and another man named Parin Jody. Well, we knew the Apostle P.M. Samuels because he was at Brother Dowell's in around 1950, and we met him. In fact, he picked out the Apostle P.M. Samuels. I call him that because that's what he called himself, and he certainly earned the title. And he spotted Audrey and me, and he came over, and he said, I want you to come to India. The Apostle P.M. Samuels. Audrey remembers him because he ate garlic and onions at midnight. And that stuck in her mind. The Apostle P.M. Samuels. Well, he is a power. Brother Dowell had him down there to preach. So he picked us on. He said, oh, you're supposed to go to India. Here I wait 30 years, and when I was in one of his churches, I said, the Apostle P.M. Samuels invited me 30 years ago, and here I am. So that was fine with them. So anyway, the Apostle P.M. Samuels died a few years ago, but while we were there, his widow died in Widjiwada, and that's a big thing because those people revere P.M. Samuels, the Apostle P.M. Samuels. Well, he had a co-worker named Parin Jody. Well, Parin Jody's still alive. And I preached in his church. He's in his 70s, very agile man. I heard him preach in Telugu, and the man is an apostle if there ever was one. He preached from Nehemiah. It was translated to me. And boy, that was the kind of sermons you don't hear very often. That was a fire eater. Man had been stoned and beaten in the early days and everything. And he around there is revered. He's a patriarch. Parin Jody. So without my realizing it, on about last Thursday night, the convention went from a week ago tomorrow, Monday, it went from Monday through Sunday. So this is about Thursday night, and I hadn't preached much Wednesday or Thursday because of John 14:2 already. So that was mansions in heaven. And you know, for the first time, I realized that if you tamper with John 14:2, the whole traditional posture crumbles. It crumbles. Because this is what our tradition is based on, is John 14:2, is that Jesus is building houses for us. And I said to Bob that what I'd like to tell people is that's not a sound exegesis whatsoever, as I'll show you in a moment. And you've heard me say before, just use one of the other verses that tells about Jesus building houses in heaven. Just don't use this one. And then it dawned on me. There ain't no other verses that talk about Jesus building houses in heaven. So the whole stance, the traditional stance, is based on this. And it came in there like a guided missile. Boom! This was the issue. If you hold that means houses in heaven, then the whole message of the kingdom and God's eternal plan and what the Bible is all about is slanted one way. If you leave it in context and what it's talking about, then you've got the coming of the kingdom in the whole bit. Because John 14:2 is talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. What he's saying is there are many booths in which to dwell, you see. It has nothing to do with Jesus going up with his hammer and his saw. Carpenter Jesus from Nazareth, and here he is. For 2,000 years he's been hammering and sawing, and the angels are plastering, and you've got your house up there, and God takes you through 90 million lessons on earth to teach you character and everything, so you'll have faith and trust, so that you can have a nice house in heaven. Yoy, yoy, yoy. But I say don't use John 14:2 because it won't wash exegetically. Use one of the others. But there isn't any of them. There aren't any of them. And it's John 14:2 is where it all is. So Parin Jody, I think it was Thursday night, Bob could correct me because he knows more about it than I, but he called together all the ministers. And he said, I believe what Dr. Thompson is preaching and I stand behind him 100%. See, the thing was that he laid the foundation of Pentecost there. And so he knew the sound of God. But what I was dealing with was a second generation. See? See, God has no grandchildren, as David Duplessis says. And everybody's got to learn God for themselves. And as Brother Allenwood said so sagely, in Pentecost, we got our scars and then our medals. The charismatic people have started off with their medals. And that's what happens is when you're in second generation. You weren't there when the power came down. And so what we have here, and the temptation, you get into the Uzzah and Ahio thing. See, Uzzah and Ahio had the ark in their front room for about 50 years. And they got over familiar with the thing. So when David called the ark back to Jerusalem, Uzzah and Ahio, these two boys, they'd grown up with the ark. They knew all about the ark. Man, the ark, what ark? You mean that box in the front room? So when they were bringing the ark back, Uzzah put out his hand to steady it, and God slew him because of overfamiliarity. So the last Sunday that I preached, I preached on overfamiliarity. And I did not hold back. I just told him, Parent Jody, he wasn't there. He was gone. I didn't realize it, but his wife was there. So I guess he'd get an earful. But I didn't realize that. I thought they were both gone. And I said, now P.M. Samuels and Parent Jody laid Pentecost here. And now there's another generation come up. And you have got to get on your face before God and repent. Because you don't, so many words, you're over familiar. You're over-familiar, too cocksure. You don't know the Father. And I said, and I was talking from the first chapter of Revelation, I said, Jesus holds the stars in his hand. He holds the churches. And I said, you're looking to the United States. You don't know the Lord. You're looking to the United States. You need money, you look to the United States. You don't look to Jesus, you look to the U.S., where everybody has more money than they can spend. That's their idea. No poor people in America. The money grows on trees with the oranges in your front lawn. You just go out and take whatever you want. And we're mean because we don't send it all. See? And I said, when America goes down, as it surely will, because God's going to judge America, you're going to be left high and dry. Because the Bible doesn't say America holds the seven stars in its right hand, the Statue of Liberty. It says Jesus. And if you look to Jesus, India can be a Christian nation and can be the head of the nation. So I try to give them some faith in Christ instead of in world politics. And I talked about overfamiliarity. But you see, I was in sound ground because Parent Jody had said, and I said, he laid the foundation and now you've got to get on your face. So it was a communion service and there was a wonderful presence of the Lord there and God really backed the thing. So I guess John 14:2 got off the ground. I hope so. Because you can't go on. See, John 14:15, 16, and 17 are talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is the move of God after Pentecost. Well, if you try to introduce into this something that Jesus is building houses up in heaven, then your whole posture is, if I can just die and go to that wonderful mansion up in heaven. And then what are you going to do? Well, I'm just going to sit there and read the paper. I won't be sick anymore and have no job and nothing to do. You go dingy. Absolutely dingy. If you were sitting in a beautiful house with nothing to do, you would go dingy. Because you're not made that way. God has created you and trained you to serve. God has created and trained you to be a king and a priest. And he's called you out. You're a saint. You have an inheritance greater than the greatest king that ever lived. And God has called you out from the world. He knew your name before the foundation of the world. He knew the number of hairs on your head then, and he knows them now. And God has called you out, given you the authority to become a son of God, given you his Holy Spirit to make you a son of God, and is bringing you through yea many tribulations to train you to be a servant, to serve the nations, because God has no way of living with the nations. And that's why he's called you out as to be his house, so that you can serve the nations of the earth. That's what's in you. And you'll never be happy in the world until God fills you and his life is flowing out to other people. Until that happens, you will be at sixes and sevens in your life. And you can't stifle it with your job. And you can't stifle it with a profession. And you'll never find satisfaction in things. And if you get a new front room set every year from now on, if Jesus comes, you'll never be happy. You'll never find it in money. You'll never find it in a profession. You'll never find it anywhere. Because God created you from the foundation of the world for one purpose. And only one. And that is to be His eternal dwelling place. So that He can use you to be a king and a priest in the earth. And that's why God does the things with you, is to break your heart and create faith in you and trust, because He's going to need you. And unless you find God's will for your life, you'll never be happy, and that hunger will be there, and you'll be going this way and that and wondering if you should backslide or serve the Lord or what you should do. And the reason is because you're not fitting into the place that God has for you. Somewhere you have drawn the line. I know I'm not speaking to everybody, but hear me. This is where we are today in Pentecost. You see, in salvation and Pentecost are only the tools. They're only the beginning. The kingdom doesn't even start till after then. This is just the authority and the power to enter. And if you stop at Pentecost and wait to go to heaven, you miss the whole thing. That isn't what the Bible's about. It isn't what the New Testament is about. The phrase "go to heaven" isn't even in the Bible. And it's certainly not in the New Testament. May say Elijah went to heaven or something like that. But as far as being a principal doctrine, a goal, it isn't there. It's our tradition. And God hasn't messed with it because it wasn't necessary. All that was necessary was that we get saved and well saved. And then when Pentecost comes, God says, "I want you now to be filled with the Spirit." Well, what's He working toward? He's working toward His house. See, that's the big question that Stephen asked. What is the house that you build me? Where's my house? God's building a house because He can't live in the earth as a spirit. He's got to have a body, and we are that body, and that is why we were created. We were known before we were born. We were known from the foundation of the world. We have been called. But you see, many are called, but few are chosen. And God is going over the face. See, just like Gideon's army, God is going over the face of Pentecost. I read in a book of statistics just recently that a survey was made by, not Pentecostal church, some people with a lot of money somewhere in some seminary, they made a survey of the denominations in the world, and Pentecost was the clearest identifiable group in the entire world. All the nations taken together. If you took all the nations and took the identifiable denominations, Pentecost is number one as far as being an identifiable group. And this was not done by a Pentecostal statistician. This was done by a seminary somewhere. Church of England or something. So you see, God had Pentecost starting in a barn in Azusa Street in L.A., and it's gone all over the world. It's strong in India. You see, it's strong in Africa, strong I know from the Sorolla School, it's strong in Southeast Asia. It's the fastest growing movement in the world, hands down. And I was in some churches where the lowest caste Hindus, the lowest caste poorest people, and here they were bright, the children bright and shining and polite and nicely dressed, vigorous, alert people filled with the Spirit of God under banana leaves. See? Because the Christian religion creates things that are different from the extant religion that is there. It creates a different kind of person. Here these people were bouncy and vigorous and ready to praise God. Fastest growing movement in the world. And you see, but now God is ready to move on, because His purpose is not that people speak in tongues. His purpose is He's building a house so that He can come and live among men. Well, you know that. You've heard it for nearly 7 years. Praise the Lord. So when you get saved, that gives you the right to become a son of God. When you're filled with the Spirit, you have the power to enter into the kingdom. Now we're ready to serve the purposes of God. And that's where we're going. That's why you can see the prosperity message in this faith and all is an abortion. Because it's aborting, it's frustrating what God wants. God doesn't want us self-centered. He wants us God-centered, Christ-centered. And so all these things that attempt to take the faith and the Word of God and use it for ourselves is completely backwards from what God wants. God wants us now to be God-centered, and our prayer every day should be, God, what do you want? What is it that you want? Using our faith for what God wants. All right, now, a little bit on John 14, too, and then I have another section here from John 14. I want to show you something, give you something practical that you can pray for and where you can go with this thing. So we won't just be flapping around in the air. Now, John 14, 2. Why am I saying use another verse for Jesus building houses? Don't use this one because you're not on sound exegetical ground. Why? All right, look. First of all, in my Father's house. Now, the house of God is a main topic of the Scripture, starting with the tent of David and then the tabernacle of the congregation on through. Now, in Isaiah 66, God says this, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build?" Then this is repeated in Acts 7 by Stephen, just before he was slain. See? "Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house will you build?" So the idea of the house of God, in the Greek, it's the oikia, is the word you say, the oikia of God, actually means, and is used in the New Testament, to mean a home, or a household, or a house. The word is used that way in the Greek. All right, so we're talking now about God's house. Now, nowhere in the New Testament does it say that heaven is God's house. See, that's your problem exegetically. How can you make a case for a thing when you have no Bible? The heaven simply is not God's house. What house will you build me? How can you be talking about heaven? In my Father's house. See, so right there, you see, what we're talking about is the house of God. Now, the New Testament not only does not say that heaven is God's house, but it does say that the church is God's house, and people are God's house in several places. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Come out from among them, and I will dwell in you. You're builded for a habitation of God through the Spirit. See, the New Testament says, 1 Peter 2, you are living stones. Living stones. It says that we are the dwelling place of God. We are being made God's house. Not one verse that heaven is God's house. Many verses that we are God's house. Now, if we're Bible-believing people, we can't just say, I don't care what you say. What it means is heaven is God's house. If you do that, what you're saying is, I don't care what you say or what the Bible says, this is what I believe. That's what you have to do, because it simply isn't there. Now it says, are many mansions. Now the word mansions, as I've said before, is grossly misleading. It did not mean that when it was written. Now the word here for mansions has no reference to a structure. The root meaning of this noun is remain. Remain. It means a place in which you remain. God comes in and the cobra goes out. Okay? A place in which you remain. Now, the noun is only used twice in the New Testament. Once in John 14:2 and once in John 14:23. But the verb, see, the noun is moni, but the verb meno, I remain, is used many, many times. And what it means, every time Christ spoke of God abiding in him and he abiding in God, or abide in me and I knew, wherever that word abide, it's meno. So when he says, in my house are many mansions, he's saying, in my house are many abiding, places to remain, places of abode. See? Has no reference to a structure, whatever. All right. Remain. Then he says, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place. Now, the word place in the Greek is tapas, place. And this is the meanings that it has. And this is taken from Vines, which is a very scholarly word. Tapas means a region, locality, a room, a place occupied, a couch at table, the destiny of Judas Iscariot, where it says he went to his own place. A place in a book, condition, occasion, or an opportunity. So what he would be saying is, in my Father's house, I go to prepare a region, or a locality, or a room, or a destiny, or an occasion, or an opportunity. I go to prepare an opportunity. It has no reference whatsoever to a structure. Now, if it were a structure, it should read like this. In my Father's domain, there are many houses. I go to prepare a house for you. or I go to prepare houses for you. But notice that it's singular. It's just a place. It's a region. Now, when we go through the New Testament, you see, one of the rules of exegesis is this. You never build a doctrine on one verse. How many know that? You never build a doctrine on one verse. And my rule about doctrine is, it should be seven times in the scripture clearly. Seven times clearly. And hopefully in the Old Testament and in the New. So when you say, now let's consider the thought, prepare a place. All right, if this means building houses, then somewhere else in the New Testament, it should refer to Christ going and building houses. There's got to be one other verse that suggests this in some manner. But you see, the book of Hebrews does tell us about Christ preparing a place, but it's by sprinkling his blood before the Father. See, he goes to prepare. He went into the Holy of Holies in heaven and sprinkled his blood. See, giving us an opportunity to approach God. That's in the scripture. In two places in Hebrews chapter 9. But nowhere does it say he's building a house. Now, is this word house in my Father's house? That's the word it should have been. I go to prepare oikia. I go to prepare houses for you. Because the word house in my Father's house does refer to a structure or a household. But it can refer to a home and is used so in the New Testament. Now, is that word used again? Yes, it is used. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and this is what it says, that we have a house, an oikia, from heaven. We long to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, which is obviously talking about the glorified body. See, not that we should be naked, but that we should be clothed upon. That's the word that's in my Father's house. But nowhere does it speak of Christ building oikia, that is, houses or structures in heaven. It is not present. That's what I mean. Exegetically, it is absolutely indefensible to use this verse. And if you do so, it is just, I'm going to do my traditional thing. Now, realize what we're up against, our hymnology. Our whole notion of what salvation is about. We say, has this ever happened before? Certainly. It happened with Martin Luther. He introduced a thought that was totally foreign to the church people. The same thing happened with the Reformers. The same thing happened when Tyndale translated the Bible into the language of the common people. You don't do that. The same thing happened with Wesley. The same thing happened with Fox. And Azusa Street was worse than anything. Horrors! You can't talk in tongues! So you and I are facing the same thing that the church has faced every time God has moved forward. We have to look at the scripture and see what God has said. And then we have two choices. We can just close our mind and say, I don't care, this is what I've always believed, what I'm always going to believe. Or we can look in the Bible and say, what does it say? How do you think the Jews felt when Jesus said, you have to drink my blood? And they have been taught from tiny children, never drink the blood. Pour the blood out on the ground. Now, Jesus is a human being. Here, drink my blood and eat my flesh. See? And at that point, the many were separated from the chosen. And God separated people with salvation. He separated them further with Pentecost. He's separating them again today. See? And whether you end up in the chosen, and I end up in the chosen, is when the Lord began to talk to the disciples about the body and blood, it says they all left him except 12. Right? It keeps narrowing down. And we are in a narrowing process today. And I guess wherever I go preach you, it's going to separate the Pentecostal church. Right? Just like Pentecost separated the evangelical church. Now, I'm not alluding to myself, I mean whoever preaches, the Feast of Tabernacles, is going to divide God's Pentecostal people. Not divide them in a bad sense. It's a sifting. Where are you in this thing? Are you ready to go on with God? Are you married to the Pentecost way? See, if you're married to that and your mind is closed, you're going to be uncomfortable. Because God is going on. Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus had many, many thousands of followers, and when he began to talk about his body and blood, they all left him except 12. And here's 12 dudes standing there. Peter says, we have no place else to go. And listen to what Jesus said. He looked at these 12.
Now these men were close. He looked at the 12 and he said, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Can you imagine how they felt? Can you imagine what that caused to their group relationships?
A little group that's smaller than the church in power.
12. And one of you is the devil. Just think of it. So much does the Lord care about promoting big works. Right? Many are called, but few are chosen. And you and I are called for God's best. But we're not chosen until we come to the place that Peter did. I don't care what comes off. I burn my bridges. You're it or nothing. And when we come to that place, we pass into the ranks of the chosen. But until we do, we're among the many who are called. There's a lot of people called to salvation, and a smaller number in Pentecost, and there's going to be a smaller number in Tabernacle. But you might as well be in it because you're this far.
All right, now one further thought and we're through. So much for the exegesis. And listen, last but not least, and I know Manny learned this in the Bible school, and everybody else who's ever been to Bible school learned something. Always, always interpret a verse in its context. So what is the context of John 14? The context is he's talking about my abiding in me and I in you. And to jump out of the context and talk about Jesus hammering up houses in heaven is weird. Now, let's see what the Lord is talking about. He's talking about trumpets and tabernacles in the Day of Atonement. I won't go into that now, but that's what he's talking about. The last three feasts of the Lord, the three feasts that come after Pentecost, which is where we are at. All right, John 14. Now look at verse 18. Now, he's still talking about, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and he's still talking about, I will come again. Now, you see, in John 14:3, he says, I will come again. Well, is he talking about his coming in the clouds? No. If you read the context, he's talking about the same coming that he's talking about in verse 18. See, this is in context. He's talking about his coming to us in the Feast of Tabernacles. Now look here. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come. This is a coming of the Lord. I will come. And in John 14:3, he says, I will come again. He's not talking about his coming in the clouds in this place. He's talking about his coming to us in the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you have been saved, baptized in water, born again, filled with God's Spirit, you are eligible for Christ to come to you. Now you say, I never heard of it. Yes, you did. Look at the Bible. Do you know how Pentecost came into being? People read that they'd never heard anybody talk in tongues, but they read in the Bible about talking in tongues. And in the turn of this century, they went to prayer and said, God, it's in the Bible. We want it. They'd never seen it, except in the Bible. And I'm telling you, there's an experience here that we haven't had. And what I'm saying is, God, I want it. I see it in the Bible. I see healing in the Bible. I see being born again in the Bible. I see that we can have the gifts in the Bible. Whatever I can see in the Bible, I want. And this is in the Bible. Old Testament by type, New Testament by direct precept. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me. Now we know this is not his coming in the clouds, because when he comes in the clouds, every eye shall see him. Revelation 1:7. But he says, the world sees, but you see me. Now you say, all right, we know this is not his coming in the clouds, because the world can't see him. We can see him. All right, this is a personal see him. But we say, we don't see him. Well, if we don't see him, and the Bible says we do see him, what do? We pray. We pray. And I've been praying, Lord, I want to see you. Now, what does this mean? We see him in a vision? No. It doesn't mean that he's going to suddenly appear in our bedroom and scare us out of our wits? No. What it means is that the presence of the Lord, if we will seek the Lord, he will become increasingly clear to us. Now, I can testify truly that I can see the Lord better than I could a year ago. Now, I mean, when I went to what to preach, the Lord told me, just like he said, how do you do? He told me what to preach on. Now, when I hear a voice like this, or it isn't so much of a voice as it's an inner awareness, but I always test it and everything. If it comes out that way, I figure it's the Lord. And sure enough, from stem to stern, I preached on what the Lord gave me to preach on, and that's where the blessing was. So I knew it was the Lord. So He is clearer. I can see Him more. And, oh, you say, well, what's so significant about that? I don't care if I see Him or I don't. Yes, you do, and I'll tell you why. Because the Lord is building His church. And as I hear ministers, and we met some wonderful missionaries over there, and as I watch God's activity and people doing, they're in the dark. They're in the dark. They're trying to do something for God. They're trying to put the program over for God. And that's what isn't what Jesus wants. Do you know what He wants? He wants to come and tell us what to do. I mean, He wants to come personally and tell us what to do. You don't have to say, should I go or should I stay or am I in the rest or should I strive or what? Forget it. Pray to see the Lord. Pray to hear from the Lord. And until you do, don't make major decisions. Now you can't say I won't lift up my little pinky unless the Lord appears to me like my television set. We're not talking about nonsense. You have to occupy till He comes. You have to do whatever's set in front of you. And I'm not saying change a single thing that we do. I'm saying Jesus has come today, is here in the Spirit, and if we'll watch Him, He'll tell us what to do. This is the rest of God. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. He says, upon this rock, I will build my church. He didn't say, you build it. See? You don't have to figure out, oh boy, I'm already, now God wants me to go to Egypt. What's wrong with asking Jesus? Maybe He wants you in Law 20. Look, He doesn't have 16 plans for your life. He's got one. And you say, but how can I know it? Pray. He says, you'll see me. It's here in the Bible. Circle it. Cut it out. Put it on the refrigerator. If it's in the Bible, it's right. He says, you will see me. When we went to India, we could have got a world pass. We could have gone to China, Russia, Moscow. We could have gone to Germany, everything. And I prayed to the Lord about it. India, 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 India. By the time we were there, we were ready to come home. We were glad it was just India. It's harder than you think. Huh? But boy, when we started out, we were just as fresh as a daisy. Oh, we go to Moscow, and then we go over here, and we go over there. You don't realize what's involved when you sit in the middle from 3 a.m. till 7 in a place where you can't close your eyes for fear somebody will steal your suitcase. It's no picnic. You know, you're not home in your comfy little bed. Eh? So, if it was enough for one trip, right? I said, where do you go from here? Boy, you're a world traveler. Now, oh, no, I'm not any world traveler. I love my little house and my family and dogs and the cats and the rest of it. We've got to find Jesus. I don't want to go nowhere unless Jesus says, can you know Him? You shall see me. You shall see me. But in order to do that, you've got to be living in the Spirit. All right, the feast. Yet a little while, but you see me. At that day you shall know. Not you'll read about it and believe it. You shall know that I am in my Father. And you are in me, and I am in you. See, the tithes show that this is an experience that comes after Pentecost. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. You shall know. Now, what's the deal? Verse 21 tells you, you say, how do I get in? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Well, because of the false teaching of grace, that we're saved by grace to go to our mansion, it doesn't matter how we live, which is completely anti-Pauline, wrong, but it's part of our tradition. We say, yes, I know the Lord said all this, but we're saved by grace. Boy, it's a wonder Paul hasn't come back in person. He that hath my commandments and thinks about them. He that hath my... You say, I've heard people preach this, and you have too. It says, there's no commandments in the New Testament except the law of love. And with this, they lie and cheat and steal, and they're the worst scoundrels you ever want to come up against. That's right. So much for love. You can't trust them. If you're going to talk about love, boy, get until your back is covered. love. Man, God's love isn't that kind of soup. It comes down, it's indestructible, some kind of an eternal thing that you don't feel like talking about. It's not all this Ask Abby kind of stuff. Love. There's no law but love. I'll bet you if you count them, somebody should do their homework this afternoon and count the number of commandments in the New Testament. There must be a jillion of them. Do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. Man, you've got enough to keep you for a lifetime. It's full of commandments. One of them is love your brother. But on top of that, there's a million of them. He that hath my commandments and does them. That's a saved person filled with the Spirit. We've got the Spirit so we can do it. He it is that loves me. So the talk means nothing. It's whether we're doing it or not. Forgiving your enemies and all this. Visiting the sick and whatever. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. Well, we see right there that the Father and the Son are two different persons. Boy, you got to be careful teaching that to the Jewish people, because they've been taught all their life, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And that's a real stumbling block. One old Jewish fellow put it so well. He said, when Jesus came down, a piece of God came down. I can live with that. Praise the Lord. I like that. I think that's true. So, but you see the difference between the Father and the Son. See, if we love Jesus, we'll be loved by the Father. And Jesus says, and I will love him and will reveal myself to him. So the Lord wants to reveal himself to you. So don't go looking for a vision and don't figure out what it's going to be like. Just let him do it in his own way. But he will reveal himself. And you don't have to walk around in the dark and say, should I or shouldn't I? Am I supposed to go to India or stay? Am I supposed to go out and start preaching or not? What am I supposed to do? Let the Lord tell you. Let the Lord tell you. Be ready. Don't go to sleep. Be ready. But let the Lord tell you. Say, but what if he doesn't speak? Well, if he doesn't speak, we got a problem. You go ahead in your own strength. Go over to India. Just go over and have a wonderful time. And when you're sitting there and you've got diarrhea and you can't find any water to drink because it isn't boiled, or you just got through working around in a place and you find out that somebody there had leprosy or something else, and then you begin to say, what am I doing? You wished you knew. So get all my faith together. By that time you're sick and tired and hot and dirty. Say, oh, take me home. But you see, if Jesus tells you what to do, then you can say, Lord, I'm not here. This isn't my doing. I'm not adventurous. I'm not a world traveler. I'm not trying to be anything. I'd just as soon be home working a job like somebody with normal. And what am I doing in this place? See, but if God sends you, then these little mercies come. Bob said that I'm God's pet. I don't believe that the way I've been treated. He says, you're God's pet. Every time you open your mouth, you get what you want. Let me tell you, Bob. Did you say that, Bob? He'll tell you. Listen. You know I made a great sacrifice when I went to India. My great sacrifice. No more peanut butter for a month and a half. Which, being a peanut butter man, this was hard, see? Anything for the Lord. All right, we'll live on rice and curry, whatever that is. Curry. I know what it is now. I didn't know what it was then. But no peanut butter. I'm here to tell you, I had peanut butter every day I was in India. We got the first place we went to was Hyderabad. We went downtown. The first night we were there with the missionaries, there was peanut butter on the table. And before we left, and there was a number of people, some from Australia and some from Mississippi, everybody at the table was eating peanut butter. And they were saying, well, that's funny, I don't eat this at home. We were going through almost a jar of peanut butter a night at this table with these people. So we went downtown Hyderabad. Here they were selling it. It was a dietary supplement or something because it's low in cholesterol. And people couldn't make it on rice and curry supplement with peanut butter. So we bought some, which we carried in the suitcase, to Chirala. Well, by the time we got from Chirala up to Amalapuram, we were out of peanut butter. So the lady of the house found out. So she went out and bought some peanuts, roasted them, and made peanut butter in her blender. So I had homemade peanut butter. By the time that that ran out, we were back in a place where we could buy it, and we left, what, 4 jars? We gave them to the cook when we left because we didn't want to bring them back. Peanut butter every day. See, when you're in the Lord's will, there's these little mercies, and they just follow you. Well, it seems like a small thing to you, but to me it was important. Little mercies that follow you along the way when you're in the Lord's will. I say, boy, I need this or that, and if Bob couldn't get it, the Lord did. Praise the Lord. We laid awake one night. It's a wonder they didn't come up and lock us up. We got hysterical laughing. Last week? We were laying there. What was it, about 6-7 o'clock at night or something? I think it was one of these times I wasn't allowed to preach, whatever it was. And we got to thinking about, here we went all the way to India to lay in bed and rest and eat peanut butter. And here, we're both gaining weight. In India, the people should spend all this money. We should go over there and lay there. I tell you, it was too much. And we cracked up and we nearly had hysterics. And it's a wonder that they didn't send somebody up to see what was happening. But I guess they figured those Americans, you never know what they're going to do next. But that's the goodness of the Lord. Bob, you didn't lose any weight, did you? I gained
15 pounds.
Huh? 15 pounds. He gained 15 pounds in India. He goes to India and gains 15 pounds. It's too much. I gained 3 pounds. He gains 15 pounds in India. That's what happens when you go in the Lord's will. Praise the Lord. So I just have a simple thing to say this morning. This, see, verse 22. How will you manifest yourself? Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will. See, the both of them. And we will come unto him and make our abode. And that word abode is the same Greek word that's translated mansions in John 14:2. And it's only used twice in the New Testament. We'll make our mansion with him. This is what he's talking about. The Feast of Tabernacles. See, in God's house, there are all these booths that you can dwell in with God. God in Christ in you. And that altogether makes the body of Christ, which is the house of God. And we couldn't have done it except Jesus went and sprinkled his blood before the Father and prepared a locality, a region, a place for us in God's presence. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the kingdom that is coming to the earth. And Lord, we know that Pentecost today is in an uproar, because it's time to move ahead. And Lord, we know that there is great stirrings in the land, revival, and many, many voices. And Lord, we do pray to hear the voice of God. We're not content, Lord, to start off on this track and start off on that track. We're not interested in novelties. We're not interested in adventures. We're not interested in doctrines that have skimpy support in the Scripture. Lord, we are interested in the apostolic word. We're interested in the Holy Spirit. We're interested in Jesus coming to us and telling us what to do. Hallelujah. Lord, it's not enough for us to guess. You promised us that we would see you. And Lord, that's in the word. And Lord, we know that the apostles saw you and they ministered and they knew what they were doing. And Lord, we're not interested in anything today except knowing what you want. And we know it's time to go forward. And we know, Lord, there are many people in this church, Lord, that are ready to take up their cross and follow you. We know that, Lord, whether it's to India or whether wherever it is, Lord, that when you tell us and you go with us, Lord, then those mercies and goodness will follow us. Wherever we go, we'll be at peace and we'll have all that we need, Lord. And help us to learn this rest of God. Help us, Lord, to realize that we're in Pentecost now, to move on, to become a room in God's eternal house. But above all, Jesus, reveal yourself to each one of us, especially, Lord, to those that are in doubt, to those that are wondering, am I doing God's will? Am I not doing God's will? Lord, you reveal yourself and speak peace and rest, that they will know, Lord, that
They are not moving in their own strength, but you have ordered it, Lord, and you are building your own church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that we can be reunited once again, Lord, in this church and praise your wonderful name. And Lord, we thank you for everything that's gone on, and now we forget it, Lord. The past is gone, it's over, it's done. And you brought us to this place. It's a new day, it's a new beginning. And Lord, we pray that we'll have profited from the past, and the pain is gone, the residue is gone. The irritations, the doubts, the fears are gone. They're behind us, Lord. You brought us through all these things. Our hearts are clear as a bird, Lord. We can sing in the morning because we hold nothing against a living human being. Hallelujah. We're not afraid of the devil. We fear God alone. And Lord, we know the calling upon us is wonderful. So Lord, we just pray this day, this Sunday, will be the beginning of wonderful things. And that every person in this church, Lord, will be an object of your personal visitation. And that they indeed, according to your word, will see you and know your will for their lives. Thank you for the answer, for your presence here this morning. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, you are holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. You are holy beyond all holiness. You are pure beyond all purity. You are mighty beyond all of our ideas of mightiness. You are the Lord of hosts, the Lord strong and mighty in battle. You are the living God, and we bow at your feet in worship. We fall upon our faces and proclaim Jesus as Lord. We lift you up today. No man shall be lifted up in our midst. We will see no man but Jesus alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will see only Jesus the Lord. Speak, Lord, that we may obey thy voice. We would see no one, Lord. We would be blind to people. We would be deaf to their voices, Lord. We would see you alone. We would see Jesus. Lord, I know that you are pointing ahead for this church, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have your way in each life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you do not have peace, God's peace is here very clearly, very precious. If you do not have peace this morning, don't leave this church. You come up to this altar and let's get it worked out. God wants you to have peace. If you're not saved, come to the altar. If you're troubled, I don't mean if you're perplexed, we're all perplexed. But if you're hurting, don't go home. You come to this altar and let's make it right with God. Because we are walking with the footman. And the day is coming when we're going to have to run with the horseman. And if we cannot walk with the footman today, and we're not making it, we'll never make it in the judgments that's to come upon our land. So God's peace is here. If you have that perfect peace in your heart, you're fine. You're where God wants you. But if you're troubled, and you have doubts and amazement, and you're confused, beyond measure, then you come. Let us pray with you, lay hands on you, so that you leave this place, and your heart is clear as the air, without any doubt or amazement, whatever. Because Jesus is in control today, and he's taking over his church to finish that which he began upon the cross. Jesus himself is not left it up to men. He's taking it over himself. And he wants to appear to you and tell you what his will is for your life. Praise Jesus. Praise you. Praise you. Shall we stand? Anyone with any particular problem, particular distress, you don't have peace this morning, you're in an uproar and you know it, just come and kneel at the altar here. On my right, if you can, if there's not room, then on my left, give us a chance to pray with you. Because God wants you to have peace. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay, that's good. Thank you. Will you go ahead and prepare the communion? I forgot we're having communion. Anyone else? Those that come to the altar will just have communion at the altar. Just see if there's peace in your heart. Make sure you have naught against a soul. If you do, the devil's gotten in. That's all there is to it. People will always irritate you as long as you live.
And that's just Satan taking advantage of human weaknesses. Just get that out today. That your heart is clear as the air. People are going to make mistakes. You can count on it. Just let it go. You're making a lot of mistakes too. Just let it go. Let it go. Hallelujah. We're going on from here to the great things God has. Hallelujah. If you're not saved, come forward this morning. Give your heart to Jesus. Don't leave this church with darkness in your soul. Praise the Lord. Don't leave this church with darkness in your soul. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. Barakahashi. Whatever need you have, come. We'll take communion here. And you've got to restore your health. Body, soul, and spirit. Hallelujah. Say we're going a little late this morning. That's fine. When the electricity goes off, we'll spend all day in church. Just get ready for God's moving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hiri Aravahaya Ravaka Handala Lavaha Siri Aravahaya. Hiri Aravahaya Ravaka Handala Lavaha Siri Aravahaya Ravaka Handala Lavaha Siri Aravahaya. Hiri Aravahaya Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we give glory to you, Lamb of God, Lamb of God, Lamb of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, hallelujah. We are your servants this day. Amen. Let's confess our sins to the Lord. Confess your sins to the Lord. Hallelujah. Name them to Jesus. Name them to Jesus. Amen. 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 Just confess your sins to the Lord. Amen. Tell Him whatever they are. Name them. Repent of them. And then take the communion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will forgive you and wash you whiter than snow. Praise your name. Just tell Him all about it. Get that load off your mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is here to forgive if you'll confess. Praise His name. Praise His name. Just tell Him all about it. Forgive everybody of anything they've ever done. Praise the Lord. Just look up to Jesus. Get filled with His Spirit. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Just tell Him all about it. If you got anything on your heart, tell Him all about it. He'll lift the darkness from your heart. He'll lift the darkness from your heart. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Break every yoke. Break every yoke. Hallelujah. 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 He'll lift the yoke if you'll reach out. He's here. Just let Him break that yoke in your life. Hallelujah. Don't carry it around with you. Carry it long up. Just let it go. He'll take the darkness out of you. If you need help, come to the altar. Hallelujah. Don't leave this church this day with darkness in your heart. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Yeah, just go ahead and serve it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, if there's something in your heart, you let it go. If you're not right with Jesus, you let it go before you take the communion, or it'll judge you and make you sick. Now, let it go. Let that thing go. I feel there's some here that God wants to just touch your life. Hallelujah. Now, just let it all go before Him. Hallelujah. Don't forget to serve these people that are kneeling here. Walt, I'd like you to come up with Brother Cantone, if you would, and take communion with him, if you would. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sherry, would you come over with my sister here and take communion with her and just lay hands on her and make sure everything's made right in God's sight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Barakahanda la lavakahai shiliaki siliarabahai. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joe, would you come up and pray with my brother here and take communion with him? Just lay hands on him. Find out what his problem is. Minister God's grace to him. Praise the Lord. Anyone else have a need? Come on. If you have a need, raise your hand. Someone behind you will lay hands on you and pray for you. We're just a family here, and God will bless you and touch you. Lift the darkness from your life. If you have a need, don't leave this place this day. Now let God minister to your needs. The Bible says they'll lay hands on the sick. And the people lay hands on you if you're sick spiritually or physically, whatever your need may be. Let Jesus touch you today. Let Jesus touch you today. Hallelujah. 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 I want to see every young person praising the Lord. And anybody with their head bowed, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So lift up your heart to Jesus. Especially the young people. Lift up your heart to Jesus. Jesus loves the young people. Just make sure you're praising. Hallelujah. 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 Make sure your heart is clean. If you've done anything wrong, just confess it. God will forgive it and wash it away. Every sin has to go. Praise His name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God wants you to go out of here with light in your soul. Full of light, full of peace, full of help, full of glory, with a victory. God wants you to have the victory. Make sure you got it. Praise His name. Don't leave here without it. Hallelujah. We're walking with a footman. Peace is going to be picking up. Leave the world. Forget it. It's dead. Hallelujah. Jesus is calling you to follow Him. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. Praise His name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Some of the young people are still heavy. Just lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, and He'll touch you. He'll touch you. Praise His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just raise your hands and touch the Lord. He'll come to you. He'll bless you. Reach out and touch Him. He's a mighty King, mighty Savior. Mighty healer. He'll heal you. Hallelujah. He'll heal you of all your diseases. Praise His name. He'll heal you of all your diseases. Praise His name. There's nothing too hard for Jesus. There's nothing too hard for Jesus. Nothing too hard for Jesus. Hallelujah. Talk in tongues. Talk in tongues if you can. Praise the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wonderful is the Lord. We praise your name, Lord. We reach out to you. We touch the hem of your garment. Wonderful Jesus. Fill us with life this morning. Light and light and health and peace, Lord. For God's people. It's a children's bread. You might as well have it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. healing for your body. You might as well have it. It's the children's bread. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. It's the children's bread and you can have it. Healing for your body. Hallelujah. Peace in your heart. God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to be healthy. To have health. Just reach out and touch Him. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Reach out and touch him for your needs today. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is the healer. The Savior, blessed be His name. He is the baptizer. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. He is the Lord of glory. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning, Lord. Lord, we praise you, Lord, for everyone in this room. We ask you, Lord, if there's anyone that is sick among us, Lord, that you would just lift that, Lord. We know that you died for our sins and you were received stripes for our sicknesses. And Lord, we know that it's your will that we be healed. We know that, Lord. Hallelujah. It is your will for your people to be healthy, Lord. Strong and vibrant and healthy. And we pray right now, Lord, if there be anyone among us that we just charge the darkness to leave in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That everyone among us will be healthy and strong, Lord. You are the Lord that heals us. We know it's your will. We don't doubt it for a second. It's the children's bread and we receive it. We won't be reasoned out of it, Lord. We will not be reasoned out of it. It is your will that we be healthy, and we praise you for it, Lord. We receive your health this day in the communion. Hallelujah. And Lord, we pray if anyone among us has aught against his brother, Lord, they'll make that right before they leave the church this day. They will just go and make it right, Lord. Hallelujah. Get it off their soul. Oh, Jesus, don't let anyone in this room take the communion, Lord, when they're burdened down with their brother's sins. Jesus. Jesus, lift that thing. Because Sandalabaka Hasilia, give us a free, clear heart, Lord. Hallelujah. We will not do the devil's business, Lord. Criticizing the brethren. We will not do that, Lord. We know we chafe one another, Lord. We know that. We know Satan accentuates it, Lord. And we reject it out of hand. We reject it out of hand. Lord, we will not receive that darkness in our souls. Lord, we pray if anyone is in that darkness, Lord, that it will be let go this morning. Hallelujah. We just charge that darkness to leave in the name of the Lord Jesus. That we may be free from an unforgiving spirit. Free from a judging, criticizing spirit, Lord. That our hearts may be light and glad and free like the heart of a child. And help us, Lord, to take communion and receive perfect health. And receive absolute forgiveness and clearing of our own sins as we forgive others. Praise your name, praise your name. Reading in 1 Corinthians 11, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And let's hold it before the Lord with a clear heart and a healthy body. Praise the Lord. Jesus, we glorify your name, your name. Your name, the name of Jesus. You have come to build your church, Lord. You're the one. Hallelujah. We hold your body in our hands. That's what we sup on, Lord, as you enter into us. Hallelujah. And when he had given thanks, he brake it Hallelujah. If you've got aught against a brother, why don't you break the communion and give them the other half? Hallelujah. Say, I forgive you in the name of Jesus, and because you're my own body. Hallelujah. You do that this morning. He broke it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Oh, Lord, we receive it without condemnation. We receive it as health and life and strength, as the children's bread. Hallelujah. Thank you, dear Savior. Shall we partake together? I believe there's healing here, saints. Hallelujah. For your body, receive it. Receive it. God doesn't want you to have colds and allergies and sore throats and limps and pains and aches. He does not want that. He does not want that. He wants you to be healthy. Healthy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He died for it, and that's the children's bread. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. Shall we hold the cup before the Lord? This is Jesus' blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Jesus, when we take this cup, we're saying to you, we have naught against the soul. Hallelujah. And if we do and we want it to go, we pray there'll be power in this cup to wash our spirit from the darkness of Satan, the accuser of the brethren, that it may wash his voice from our mind and from our spirit, that we will love our brethren with a pure heart fervently, Lord, and overlook their sins, Lord, for they are your servants and not ours. So, Lord, we just take this cup, wash from us anything, Lord, that even resembles a judging spirit. Shall we partake together? Praise his name. Praise his name. He died for our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. And with his stripes, we were healed. We love you, Jesus, and we receive it. And now as your church, we receive the revelation of Jesus, that we may know what to do from this day in December forward. Hallelujah. That we will work with you, and not for you, but with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you evangelize the world. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus is Lord. Lord of the whole earth. Lord of every nation. The King of all. His name is Jesus. And he commands the nations to bow the knee. And we are his ambassadors. Praise your name, Jesus. Oh, mighty Christ. Work among us with mighty signs and wonders. Hallelujah. That the nations may know that you are Christ and King. Hallelujah. Use us for your glory. Use us for your glory. Use us to disciple the nations. Use us for your glory. Oh, thou mighty Christ of God. We look for your appearing. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. You are Jesus. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold. Let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. adore Him. Christ the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Surely my river has flown this day, and it has come unto thee. And I have even caused my river to flow out, and it has been coming unto thee. And there are those that would say, oh, but this feels strange, and it does pass over me. And there would be those that would take their feet, and they would firmly plant them upon the river's bottom. But I would say to thee, you shall feel that the waters, they shall begin to flow past thee, and they shall go around thee, and you shall find that you shall stand in one place, and the river doth flow on, and it doth have a destination. Hold not back, plant not thy feet, for surely the Lord God would have thee, that thou wouldst yield to the very pressure of the river, to the very flow that I am causing to come unto thee, and that you would yield and you would lay down even in the waters and allow my river to carry thee. For this river does not flow away from me, but it does flow unto me. And it doth flow even as the waters of the natural do flow in the rivers unto the great sea. And it doth flow to me. And as thou dost yield thyself, straighten up thyself. Be not stalwart against the moving of the river, but lay thyself down in the waters, and surely they shall carry thee. Even unto he whom thou seekest.
Amen. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. We receive it, Lord. Help us. Help us all. Help us to recognize you and to follow you, Lord. Hallelujah. Look to Jesus. Just look to Jesus. Just look to Jesus. Amen, Lord. We thank you for your wonderful peace here. Thank you for your wonderful peace, Lord. Let your blessing be upon each one. Hallelujah, Lord. We pray you'll be with each family this day, Lord. Keep us, Lord. Oh, your presence is so real. We pray you'll just go with us, Lord, and be with each one, Lord. Bring us back tonight, Lord, in your will, that we may worship you, Lord. Not waste our time in the world, Lord. But be fervent in this day of your visitation. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your wonderful name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. God bless everyone.